Welcome, podcast listeners. You're listening to another action-packed, tongue-tied episode of Drunk on Comics, number 117.
117?
No. See, it's funny. I just pulled it up, too, and it's not 117.
What? It's 117?
It is 117. You're making me doubt myself, bitch. I hate you.
Well, I am Derek, and this is Kevin.
Hey, man. What's going on, man? It's been forever.
Yeah, like less than a week.
Yeah. Yeah. So, just a quick recap, man. If you haven't listened to our special edition podcast, man, go back. I mean, I'm still pumped about our recent trip to Toronto.
Did you hear our good buddy Jay's version?
Unfortunately, I haven't had time. But Jay from an Elegant Weapon podcast,
which you can find at anelegantweapon.ca.
Yeah. No, I haven't heard what he's posted. Now
he put it up. I think like late Friday, I think it was.
Okay.
And I listened to it. You know, like the next day. Actually, I've got a little bit more at the tail end.
Okay.
But yeah, there's some good conversation involving us.
Oh, that's great, man. Now, for those unfamiliar or new to the show, Jay, how would you just explain to him? Because my few word elevator pitch to other people,
Jay,
like my friends, is like, hey, Jay's. He's our Canada connection, great guy, excellent podcast, who focuses on Star Wars and comic books.
Yeah, well, so our podcast, I always say, this is the easiest way to describe it, he is the alternate universe counterpart of us. We drink beer and talk comics, he smokes weed and talks Star Wars.
That sounds way better than what I just said.
Yeah, and he gets into comics and stuff too, but sure. Yeah, I mean, that's his primary thing.
Oh, man, so this news we're going to have later on the show, I would be interested to get his take on some Star Wars talk that we'll be bringing to the show later on. So
yes.
A little teaser for those who want to stick around later in the episode.
Why would they not want to stick around?
I don't know. Everyone's got busy lives.
Yeah, well, you put us in your ears and let us like get right inside your ear holes real good. You know, and then just and we'll massage the inside of those holes for you, and then you'll love it
and work it.
Yeah, ugh. Yeah, and who knows? You might want to carry a wet net. So,
well, sure.
Yeah, a moist towelette, if you will. All right, Kev. Let's get things kicked off with Off the Shelf. Off the Shelf is once again brought to you by Grand Con, which is happening September 19th through the 21st here in beautiful Grand Rapids, Michigan at the Crown Plaza. And you can find out more information about them, all the guests, the gaming, the comics, all the stuff they got going on at grand-con.com. So, Kevin.
Derek, what do you got there, buddy?
Little Charles Soule loving for you. Little Death of Wolverine number 1 of 4.
Okay.
Sure.
Go ahead. I'll interject later.
Okay. Credit first. Charles Soule's the writer. Steve McNiven did the gorgeous artwork on this. Jay Leisten did inks, and Justin Ponser did the colors on this issue.
And you picked up the normal edition, and that's a sharp cover.
Who did that? You know? That is Steve McNiven as well.
Really? Okay.
Yep. Yeah. He did all.
Very
of it.
very sharp.
Yeah. It's like the what was it, the foil cover, I guess, kind
of. It definitely has remnants of the old foil cover style.
It's shiny. So we'll just say that. And kind of reflective, but I picked this.
Now reflect back on this issue, Derek, if you will.
Okay, I can see me in it. So, all right. So anyway, this issue basically, everybody knows about that they're killing Wolverine off, and you know, Charles has talked to, like, when we talked to him at back at Motor City, mm-hmm. You know, he goes, look, he goes. Because we're like, he's not going to be dead forever, you know. And Charles goes, doesn't matter if he is or isn't. If it's a great story, why wouldn't you want to hear it? And now, even knowing Charles was doing this, and we're big fans of his work, I picked this up with some trepidation because I'm like, it's still, to me, it's a gimmick. It's a way to boost sales, blah, blah, blah. You're going to kill the favorite character off. You know, they can't kill fucking Deadpool off. I don't understand that one because he really can't be making them that much money. But you're going to kill off your number one, you know, character, basically.
So that was your gripe of not wanting to pick this up?
My gripe was it's going to be, let's just kill him to sell more books. But I got to give Charles Soule credit here because issue one's got me hooked. This is this is a great story so far.
Well, if I may, actually, I did not pick this up because the lead-ins to this, 3 months to live, 2 months to live, I picked those up and I was disappointed.
See, I didn't bother picking them up because I'm just like, I'll pick this up when the story's going and when Charles Soule's doing it. And that's all I wanted.
I didn't even really, I was so burned on the other ones that honestly, I'm like, even though Charles Soule, who, I mean, we love his work and everything that he's been doing from Swamp Thing to Letter 44.
The Superman, Wonder Woman. 18 other books that he's doing.
Yeah, exactly. He's a little Jeff Johns.
I would actually say that he's a big Jeff Johns.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he's spreading himself across multiple different publishers and multiple different storylines. Yeah, right. And yeah.
But I did not pick this up. And well, Derek, you're I have this feeling that especially since this is off the shelf segment that we are doing, we're featuring a new comic book of the week. That I'm going to be disappointed that I did not pick this up.
You are going to be disappointed that you didn't pick this up.
Okay.
The basic premise is that Wolverine has lost his healing ability.
Uh-huh.
And
your story checks out.
Yep. So far, and you know, it basically starts off with him going to Reed Richards, and you know, because apparently he's been to Hank McCoy, he's been to Tony Stark, and you know, he's trying to get this fixed.
Did
and
he go to Bruce Banner?
You know, he didn't. And also, you know,
he's a doctor, isn't he?
Yeah, but and he didn't go to Hank Pym either.
Maybe he couldn't get an appointment.
You know, actually, what I'm wondering now is, why not try Shi'ar?
Hey, man, if you're desperate.
He is Canadian. I don't know if his health plan covers Shi'ar. So, you know, we'll have to figure that out later. But, no, so this this is an interesting one. It kind of starts off with Wolverine going into a bar, and you're seeing a lot of him, like, you can tell that this is actually weighing on him pretty heavily. And Reed's basically telling him if they can't fix his healing ability, he's going to die one way or the other because of all the shit that he's exposed himself to, you know, radioactive particles throughout the year that have basically bonded to his adamantium skeleton. He'll die from that alone at some point. He basically leaves a little note behind at the bar because he knows that people are going to come looking for him because word's going to get out. And so Nuke, which I think Nuke is one of those crazy-ass characters, which I like because he is a loose cannon in the fact that he doesn't give a shit. He's not a tier one villain by any means. Mm-hmm. He's just one of those guys that he's that unknown that can really fuck up an idea of what's going to happen. Well,
no, forgive me for jumping in, but I'm not familiar with Nuke.
Nuke is the guy with the American flag tattooed on his face.
Okay.
Back in the day, he was. I knew him when I was younger of being an enemy of Daredevil, and he had like a gun arm, like he could change his, okay. his arm into a gun. Now,
okay, so this is not a new character they've made recently. This has been an established character.
Yeah, which has evolved throughout the years.
Okay,
but anyway, so you know, Nuke comes into the bar looking for Logan. And, you know, Logan had told the bartender there's going to be people coming looking for me. And he's like, well, what do you want me to say? And they leave it. They don't. And you just see the bar, like all of a sudden the bar's empty, you know, time passes. And then you see these guys coming in. And it's great because when Nuke actually asks the bartender, he goes, so what did Logan say? And he goes, and the bartender says he didn't say nothing. He lays down a map. He goes, he just left this. There's a map with a little island on it, an X on it. It says, come on, you cowards. And so Nuke goes for him, brings his gang. And then the great thing, you know, boat blows up and he swims to shore. And there are dozens of dead people from like AIM and Hydra and all these other places that have come for him that Wolverine's already killed well before Nuke even got there. So it's just, it's a cool story. There's more info in here that I'm not going to go into because I don't really want to give too much away.
Sure.
And I could tell you all of it and it's not going to spoil anything, but this was such an enjoyable issue. The dialogue was fantastic. The action and pacing was top notch. And Steve McNiven's art, Kevin, I'm going to give that to you here to flip through. And actually, I'll get to something because the first half of the book is the story. The last half is one of the reasons why I really enjoyed it, too.
And why it's $4.99.
Yeah, because it's complete. The back half, you get to see a lot of the behind the scenes. You get to see, like, sketches, like preliminary sketches and pencils and inks, and you get to see the way the scripting was working out, both from McNiven as well as from Charles Soule in there. There's a great interview with Len Wein, who is the writer that created Wolverine. And just really, really fantastic for people that, even like me, you know, I mean, I've been a Wolverine fan for over 30 years now. And yes, that dates me, but you know, I am the prodigal old fuck on the show, as we've said many times. But you flip through, I mean, the colors from Justin Ponser on top of Jay Leiston's inks, I mean, they really bring this almost to more of a photorealism style, even though it's not. It's just absolutely gorgeous work. And, you know, what the thing that I liked, the very first thing that you open up to are the black and white sketches, not colored, no panels. Just, it floors you. And I like this because I think for non-comic book readers, like non-regular readers, this will force them to look a little bit more at all the detail that went into every single page on this. So I'm hooked. I want to know what's going on. I don't care anymore that they're killing off the character. And Charles Soule is right. I just want to read a really good story. And I think this is what we're going to have.
Wow. You know, now that you, because I will, if you're the resident old fuck, I'm the resident cheap ass on the show. And that was also a tiny bit of a reason why I didn't pick this up.
You know, this is one I didn't even look at the price.
Yeah.
I just went.
Well,
grab it.
Usually I don't look at the price, but if I have a moment of hesitancy, then I will factor into the price, and I will probably more likely buy a $2.99 book versus a $4.99 book.
Well, and there are weeks, honestly, when I go in and I'm like, I got a budget, you know, or I'm limiting myself to X number of comics.
Yeah. Especially if you know, if you look ahead, what's coming out in the future weeks.
Which, speaking of limiting myself to X number of comics, I'm glad you're sitting down, Kevin. I have some news. I know it's not news notes yet.
You're broke?
No. I removed all of my X-Men books from my pull list this week.
So so you can have more flexibility of just doing stuff a la carte?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't blame you because listeners, man, how many books come out every single week?
Well,
Marvel definitely has a ton of titles, but we we got to keep things diverse because,
well, Marvel has 93 a month on average. Yeah. I think DC's 97.
There's so many people who have titles, but and we want a good smattering of them all. Mm-hmm. And I know you've had, and that had been kind of tough for you because you had a soft spot.
Oh, X-Men is that's my home book.
Sure.
But X-Men and Daredevil. Now the Daredevil is great. They only put out one book, so that's easy.
Yeah.
You know, but there's just too many X-Men books, and none of them right now were grabbing me in the way that they should. But I can go and pick up something like Death of Wolverine, and I got my X-Men fix, and holy fuck, is it good. So, yeah, Kevin, you should read this one.
All right. Cool, man. Well, thanks for that one. Off the Shelf this week is also a Marvel title, but not your typical Marvel title.
I completely forgot. Like, I guess I didn't even pay attention that this is technically Marvel.
It is, Derek. So, have you heard of The Dark Tower before?
Yeah, just a little bit. And by just a little bit, I mean I've read the entire 7-book series probably 8 times. Like,
really? Okay.
Well, I take it back. All 7 I probably read 5 times. But, like, the first book in particular...
The book, you're actually talking about the actual book.
The actual Stephen King books.
Okay.
Yeah. The very first one, the Last Gunslinger, that one, well, is it The Dark Tower? I never remember how he titles them, but The Last Gunslinger, I've read that book, shit, probably a dozen, 15 times at least. Okay. But it's a quick read, though, too.
Okay.
Yeah, I love, love, love this story.
So, preparing for the show today, I've run across this excellent summary from the Dark Tower website.
Okay.
And I'm going to read this and see if this matches to what you are familiar with, because this, for me, brand new to me.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So, Dark Tower is inspired in equal parts by Robert Browning's poem, Child Roland to the Dark Tower Came,
mm-hmm.
J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings,
mm-hmm.
and Sergio Leone's Spaghetti Western Classics.
Yep.
The Dark Tower series is an epic of Arthurian proportions. It is Stephen King's magnum opus and is the center of his amazing creative universe.
Yes.
That's a fair synopsis.
Oh, yeah. We could actually, here's one of the things. The guy that he, that the man in black that Roland is chasing... Okay. In the first book and basically chasing after in pursuit also of the Dark Tower. Did you ever see or read The Stand?
Nah.
No. Okay.
I saw the first handful of hours of the miniseries that appeared on ABC.
Like way back in the day with Molly Ringwald and Gary Sinise and Okay.
But,
there's a bad guy in that book by the name of Randall Flagg. And if you read a lot of Stephen King books, there's a bad guy in them who always has the initials RF.
Mm-hmm.
This is the man in black.
Okay.
And so no matter what different universe Stephen King's writing in, this guy is in all of them. The cool thing about the Dark Tower series is that you actually have characters from different books that make appearances. People from Salem's Lot... God, I'm forgetting. Oh shoot, I can't remember the name. But
you're on your own, buddy.
Yeah, like, no. Well, and a lot of them they made into movies too. But there was like Hearts of Atlantis. You get people in there from that, and I mean, you just see all these different things, but they traipse across different worlds, different parallel universes, if you will, and. Yeah. Anyway, so.
Oh, okay. So, wow. All right. Well, I'm gonna feel kind of stupid when I give you my review here.
No, actually,
again, I've never heard of any of this. Now I've heard of Stephen King.
Who? Hey, little trivia thing. I don't know if you're aware of this. Joe Hill, who wrote Nosferatu and American Vampire and all those other things.
Sure.
That's Stephen King's son.
Oh, get out.
Yeah. And if you're ever curious, he was also the little boy in the original Creepshow movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's in.
There you go. Some fun trivia for you.
Wow, this world is small. So, but again, never read this. So, again, off the shelf this week is The Dark Tower, The Drawing of the Three, number one. And this is number one of a 5-part series. And, wow, this is good. So it's written by Robin Firth and Peter David, which I thought was interesting. Peter David did both iterations of Spider-Man 2099.
Oh, okay.
The old series in the late 90s and the current one.
Oh, no kid.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. Art by Peter Kowalski. Pause. Now, I was flipping through his bio. He did the art for RoboCop Beta.
Okay.
And to connect it, we talked with Ed Brinson.
Ed Brinson, yeah.
Ed Brinson.
Yep.
At Toronto Fanfare.
Yep, which hopefully we'll get him on the show here pretty soon.
Yeah, we had a great conversation with him for a bit. I mean, we didn't want to take a lot of his time because he was busy like everybody else there. So funny how just all these connections of interest to me anyway. So, but as I mentioned again, this is my first foray into the Dark Tower series of books. Now,
can I interrupt for one moment?
Yeah, what's
we got to finish out Colors, Nick Filardi.
Okay.
And then you got the regular cover, which was Julian Totino Tedesco, and I got the Christian Ward variant cover. So, mostly because I already have the original cover on the free preview one. So,
okay.
and this variant didn't cost anything extra, and so I just thought it was
okay. The cover on the one that I have here by Julian Totino Tedesco, I like that a lot better than the other one.
I like that one a little bit better myself. They're both gorgeous, but you know, it's kind of like, well, I already got that one on something, so.
I judge books by the cover,
mm-hmm.
And I did it again. Saw Stephen King, saw a beautiful piece of art on the front. I'm like, I'll pick it up. And thinking, and I didn't even open it up, thinking that the cover art was going to be semi-reflective of the art that was going to be inside.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. It's completely different. Both are absolute gems. I think the detail inside of the pages is really, really, really good. So, It's Peter, right?
Peter, yeah. It's like the Russian spelling.
Sure. Yeah,
Kowalski.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that's really good. Now, from my point of view, I'd say maybe that this story wasn't, without a doubt, the absolute greatest of the week. And, I mean, I've read a bunch of good stuff this week, but maybe it's because I don't know anything about the Dark Tower or any of the characters maybe half mentioned in here. So I feel like I should know something. It almost feels like it's written that you should know something about these characters.
Here's what I'll tell you. This story wasn't exactly told like this in the books. And there's a lot of this that I think is completely brand new.
Sure. Well, I mean, they just can't tell beat for beat story of the books.
Right.
They want to bring in new people and people who've read it before.
Right.
And they don't want to just a beat for beat story to tell. Storytelling.
Easy for you to say. Yeah. I think the one thing that I liked about this, as far as the story itself, is that there are a lot of pieces in here that you never got the full version of in the books. So there's a lot of new stuff. And actually, that was kind of one of the things I'm like, do I want to pick this up? Because you know, I've read these books so many times now. Sure. I did read the like the first volume of the Dark Tower series, and I read another one later on, and I liked them, but it's like, you know, I guess I liked the books better. But when it came to this, Eddie Dean, who is the little boy that's narrating this story, if you will, he was probably my favorite character.
Sure, and in this book, it's taking place in 60s Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, the story is about the little boy and being narrated by present day Eddie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, adult Eddie, if you will.
Yeah. And now there's a little synopsis on the back cover that gives you a little idea of apparently he has the ability to open doorways to other worlds.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the things that later on, like Roland really is the main character in this story. Well, in the Dark Tower series, I should say, not in this story. Roland in the book, The Drawing of Three, finds three different doors on a beach, and he goes basically into other worlds through their minds, but he's able to pull these people into his world. And that's kind of what they're alluding to here.
So probably later in the story they'll relate, because this is called The Drawing of the Three.
Yes.
So eventually they'll explain what the hell that's all about, because I'm like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah. It will come later, and you're going, I would assume you're going to meet Roland at some point. And
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, what I don't understand in these stories, I don't know how the continuity of all this works out, but it really, for me, it's just the writing that pulled me in,
mm-hmm.
and why I'm putting this at top of my list. There's a lot of little things in there that was really good, but for me, there was a peak of the story that had a great emotional, I had emotional connection with, and it was slightly disturbing.
There were disturbing things there, yeah.
Yeah, but I want to talk more in depth about it, but I don't want to spoil it for anyone who wants to read this book. But,
right.
But anytime that I am gripped to a book, not literally though, because that would be weird. I wouldn't want to damage my books.
Grip it. Grip it, hold it tight.
Do you ever do that? Like, you're like...
Dude, you just about gave me a heart attack. I saw you. Oh my god, you just crumpled your book.
It's a little, not that crumply.
Oh my god. Okay, anyway.
Hey, you done wetting yourself?
I'm so...
Oh my god. So, but... There was that emotional connection is what drove this to the top for me. And if anyone wanted to experience, I hope when someone reads it, they have the same emotional connection that I have reading this. And for that, this was my number one. And I'd encourage anyone to pick this up. And I look forward to the other to the next four.
Here's the one thing that I will say: there are some really cool Easter eggs in here for people like myself who have read.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Of course, I'm totally oblivious to all of those.
Just all sorts of little things in here, which I'm not going to spoil anything, but, you know, the little poster of the dog at the beginning. Did you read that at all? Like, what was on the posters?
Yeah, I didn't really think much about it.
Okay. Well, if you read it, it says, please help us find our puppy, Eddie. Eddie is 2 years old and will answer to the name Dino. Well, Eddie Dean is 2 years old in this book. And this is kind of the way of this underground, like, group that's trying to find him, because they do give something away at the end, which I won't spoil, you know, about why Eddie's important.
Sure.
But, yeah, it's... This ties in directly to some of the books that are out there. The Hearts in Atlantis is one of them in particular, where this ties into. But the guy, you see hands of this guy that's tacking it up, and he's got a little tattoo on his hand. there was a group of people in one of the books called The Coffin Hunters that had these tattoos on their hand. These are just cool little Easter eggs for people like me that I'm like going, oh shit, no, you know, just getting like.
That's funny. It's funny that I picked this book up and not knowing that you were so.
I'm a big fan.
Big fan of it. That's hilarious. And especially since before we started recording, Derek mentioned to me that Kevin's not gonna pick this up. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, well, it was funny because, like, you know,
hey, but what I tell you, man, I get outside of my comfort zone every once in a while.
Well, I figured I didn't think this was a book that anyone else but me and our group would pick up. Like, you know, and I'm like. And I'm like, I was, you know, I'm trying to pile through my books because, dude, I still had like over a dozen books left over from the week before because we went to Toronto.
Sure.
Plus all the books that I had to get through this week. And I'm like going, oh my, like I felt like I was doing homework this week. Like, you know, and so like I'm trying to read all the books. And I'm like going, and I started reading this one and I'm like, I don't have time. I'm going to put this down because at this point I knew it was just you and me. I'm like, there's no way Kevin's going to pick this book up, and even if he does, there's no way he'll review it.
Sure.
So I was happily surprised, and then when I found out, I'm like, okay, I'm going to put another book down. I'm going back to this one so I can have it read before we talk about it. But
you know what? I got a question for you. Break away from our normal format in a new segment.
I will punch you in the throat. I swear to God.
The inside joke, listeners, is that Tony, who often is on the show with us, he loves to
surprise us with a new segment.
Surprise new segment.
So in good old Tony fashion, new segment. I don't know what we're gonna call it. I don't know how it's gonna go yet. Yeah, but man, yeah, we're just gonna give it a shot.
This should be the next hot thing. People are gonna mention this shit in the streets.
Yeah,
viral even.
Yeah,
whatever. No, I wanted to ask you. You mentioned it felt like homework. Does this ever feel like homework to you?
Only, well, it felt like homework for a class that I really like. How about that? I don't like being behind. That's a personal thing.
Yeah, I'm with you too. I'd be honest with you. I'm a little bit behind. I have Flash. Banked up. It's been I think I'm two or three issues behind. Just because, and it sometimes like because I'm never consistently here. Unlike you, Derek, who you are the fucking workhorse of Joycon Comics.
That or I got nothing else going on in my life that I can do this every week. Whichever it may be. What? I don't know.
Anything. But I know just some things don't line up, because I did review Flash 1 week, and it just happened, because we want the off-the-shelf segment to feature a week comic book from that week. Now, of course, if you've listened to some previous shows, it doesn't necessarily happen like that.
It doesn't always, but we try, yeah, you know, because we want it to be fresh.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, that homework comment made me think, and I don't know if that was interesting at all to the listeners. It was interesting to me, so fuck you.
So, a new segment. What's interesting to Kevin?
No, I enjoy it, putting together notes, doing some research. It's fun. We wouldn't be doing this if we weren't having fun.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. There definitely is a level of work to doing this.
Oh, sure. But, absolutely. And we hope it pays off for you, the listeners.
Yeah, that's why we're doing this for the... Yeah, hope it pays off for you, listeners.
Translates well to the listeners. How does
that's even better. Yeah, because
that's better.
Because we started this.
Well, I'm shitty with my wordsmithing. So
The wordsmith. No, it's a woodsmith.
There is such thing as woodsmithing.
Yes, they're called carpenters. All right, Kevin. I think it's about time we move on to some news and notes.
Yeah, man. What's a top on our list?
You know, top first.
Can you write this shit down?
I don't write shit down.
I thought. Oh wait,
yeah, I did.
You did. give me that.
Yeah. The first, and this is not a laughing thing, but Stan Goldberg, who was a colorist at Marvel and a legendary Archie comics artist, passed away this last week at the age of 82. Amazing, amazing creator. So, you know, condolences and respects to his friends and family and all those that knew him. So I did just want to bring that up.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he did work on one of his last things he worked with was a Spider-Man short story that's going to be appearing in October's Marvel 75th anniversary special.
Okay.
So definitely, I mean, that would be definitely something to check out for one last, you know, creative thing that he produced.
Well, and you know, the one nice thing, I heard a comment, and I don't remember who it was. It was a certain creator told a friend of mine this, and it said, "No one's going to remember your high score on a video game after you die. That's not going to be put on your tombstone. Nobody's going to be talking about it. But when you create things and you have something to share, you can be remembered for all of eternity." And, you know, I just thought that was a really great way of looking at things, you know, because in this world, in this life, we tend to get so bogged down with our technological this and that and everything mm-hmm. else and self-absorbed. And I think one of the great things I love about comics is that there are so many other wonderful things that are being shared with us out there. And in some weird way, that's kind of why I like doing this podcast, because I feel like we can share a little bit of ourselves with other people that are out there. Mm-hmm. So anyway, enough being, you know.
You know, it made me reminisce. I was reading about Stan Goldberg and remember Archie versus the Punisher?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I mean, they mentioned that the one article that we pulled us up on. This is mentioned a few different times, and you go to even this wiki page. that's the cover that they have featured there.
And, yeah,
I mean that was a daring crossover at the time.
It was funny. Yeah, and dude, I mean, like that book was so money, just so money. You know, what also is money. Superman coins in Canada.
Heck yeah, man! That was so at Fan Expo Canada, they had. A B minus on your transition, by the way.
Oh, come on! All right. I gotta work on the next one.
Change your direction? I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know. But, so, in Canada, because they're so much hipper than us in the States. Sorry.
What?
Sorry.
Sorry.
Say it a couple times, you're gonna get it. You get what I'm talking about.
Sorry. excuse me.
So they have taken a couple coins. They're $10, $15, and $20 coins, and they created special stamps for them commemorating Superman. Now they did this last year, and this year they're paying homage to Superman by recreating certain cover art on these coins,
which I think it's cool because they're just stamped coins, then they're hand painted.
Yes. So limited runs of hand painted coins, and what's great about it is they have a variety of price points for the collector.
Mm-hmm.
Starting with a $10 coin, which you can get for about I'm going off the top of my head about $80 Canadian.
I can give you the. The breakdown
okay.
here.
Okay, so how close was I to that $10 coin? That first $10 coin?
I said
80.
I'm a liar. Okay, wait. Oh, well, here.
I remember the most expensive one, which is a gold plate, is a gold coin, $20 piece with a Superman crest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going for about $750 Canadian.
Yep, okay.
Limited run of about 1,000.
All right, we're just gonna break it down here. Yeah, sure. It's 14 karat gold for $750.95
mm-hmm.
Canadian. The $10 silver coin which has basically the Action Comics number one cover on it. That is $70.
Which, what I love about the detail on that is, now, most people remember from that Action Comics number one is that you have Superman, he's lifting the car with momentum going forward.
I know exactly what you're getting at.
But what's often always missed is the guy in the foreground going, ah!
Oh my God!
Yeah. And they capture that on this coin.
Yeah.
Perfectly, and it was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Yeah. It was great. I talked to one of the persons who actually created the stamp.
Mm-hmm.
She walked me through the process. Which,
did you say her name was Amanda?
That sounds familiar.
Okay. Anyway,
I could go back. I guess I'm just guessing. But she was a young lady. And I know I was one of the first persons that she talked to during the day because she had still had a voice and she still had energy to talk to everybody.
All right, there's also a $15 one, which has the Action Comics number 419 cover on it, and that is $89.95. And then there's the Superman Annual number one, which was from the New 52. That's a $20 coin. And you can get that for $109.75. So
yeah, a variety of price points.
Were they selling those coins there?
No. But they had, two things you could pick up at the booth. They had one, the information on how you could purchase them. Derek, do you have the website where they could buy it? Even though I'm sure you could just Google Superman coin.
Surprisingly enough, it doesn't have.
Yeah. You probably could Google that in two words.
Superman coin.
Probably, but they had a page detailing everything that you get with your purchase, and then they also had this very large book that went over sort of the history of the character, and also about the history of minting in Canada.
Oh.
Which I thought they were interesting reads, and for me, one of the most fascinating booths at Fan Expo Canada.
And I'm still a little jealous. I didn't know that they were there.
Yeah,
but you know, big show. That's kind of one of the things. I mean, and especially when you get to a show that size, you know, it's always a question of how do you deal with it. And San Diego
deal with what?
How do you deal with that much size?
Okay,
in space. San Diego, rumor that they might be thinking about size and space because their contract with the city, San Diego Comic-Con, is up here in a couple years, like 2016. And so there are rumors, will Comic-Con International, or what the rest of the world just refers to as either just Comic-Con or San Diego Comic-Con, will it now be... Rather than SDCC, will it be CC? Are they going to move someplace? Who knows?
For me, it's San Diego Comic-Con. So for it to actually move elsewhere, meh. Especially since if they move, won't just another convention just move in?
I would think so.
Now, would they get Hollywood support?
Well, I've read a couple different articles, and the one saying if they went to someplace like Vegas, Hollywood would still come.
Los Angeles? To Hollywood? I mean, Hollywood just walks out the door and they're there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, L.A., is there ample space for a show that size?
Yeah.
And basically what they're saying is Vegas is the most likely choice if they were to move.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Because they have space upon space upon space.
That's what Vegas is known for. Conventions and buffets. I think that's like what they're most known for. Yeah. Kevin, your eyes just roll in the back of your head.
Oh man, I've had plenty of good buffets. If you ever, listeners, you ever go there, you want a good buffet, don't go into anything else other than either the Bellagio or the Wynn. A little bit more expensive. I mean, yeah, you can find that $12.95 all you can eat prime rib buffet. But the Bellagio and the Wynn, unbelievable. And if you time it right, the Bellagio has $5 all-you-can-drink champagne.
Oh, nice. That's a lot of champagne.
Oh, yes. We've left there full and loaded a few times.
So have you at these buffets, have you gone up three times?
Three?
Well, I'm just asking because three seems to be a good number.
What I do with buffets is I take very small portions, but keep it diverse, and I'll go and mental check of what I really like. So then, if I really like something, I can go back and get large portions of it after I've made the grand tour.
Okay.
Of it, but yeah. But anyway, getting back to the Comic-Con. It would just be just wrong for San Diego Comic-Con to move to another city, in my opinion, really.
There you go. You heard it from Kevin. So, what Kevin likes. It's a new segment. We're going to start what Kevin thinks.
I don't know. That didn't tie in well to the last segment?
Oh, no, that's good.
The last segment is just going to keep on going throughout the whole show.
Yeah, well, so here's what I was trying to do. I was trying to get a segue going. You stepped on it going up to the buffet three times, and you can just gorge yourself on three big plates, kind of like Dark Horse is going to let you do on three collections of webcomics.
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about Comic-Con in India.
No, not yet.
Oh, that's later.
We'll swing back around, man. Swing back around.
Full circle?
Yeah, full circle. Dark Horse has got three different webcomics that they are putting into print. The first one is Polar, Eye for an Eye. There's also Murder Book by Ed Brisson, which I don't know if you flipped through some of the artwork from that. Just fucking gorgeous. And then Bandette, which I know Bandette has been reviewed a couple times on our website by some of our writers. So.
I've read that review and these covers that I'm assuming the covers where we're seeing them are going to be the final ones, and they look great.
Yeah,
they look absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, so these are Murder Books going to be out March 18th, 2015. Polar Eye for an Eye and Bandette Volume 2, Stealer's Keepers. Those are both going to be out on Tax Day, April 15th, 2015. So. That is tax day, isn't it? 15th?
Yeah. Does the article actually say tax day?
No. No, I put that in there.
Oh, so you're just going from memory.
Yeah, because I'm smart and shit.
All right.
I like how you didn't agree with me.
Pay a refund.
Pay a refund?
Pay or refund.
I'm always refund from the feds. Always got to pay into the frickin' state. But it's like $20.
The man.
Yeah.
All right, what's next?
All right, well, you touched on it. So Reed Pop, which does C2E2, and they also do New York Comic Con, just partnered with a convention, Comic Con India. So they're going to kind of help. That's a three-year-old event. They're partnering up with them. So if you're going to be in India, there you go.
That would be wild. I mean, I'm sure there would be a language barrier with us, but... Man, I think that would be a lot of fun going to a Comic-Con in a different country.
We just did.
A real other country.
I thought you said they were cooler than
us, Kevin. No, I'm saying... I'm talking about, getting on a plane.
Overseas. Yes. Okay. Yeah. All right, so speaking of Canada, and we mentioned this at the beginning, our buddy Jay... Uh-huh. Marvel Comics is going to reprint a bunch of the old Star Wars comics from Dark Horse now that they own the rights to it.
Sure. When that announcement happened of Disney purchasing Marvel and then Disney purchasing...
Well, they owned Star Wars and then they bought Marvel, I think was the way...
No, I think Star Wars came later.
Chicken or the egg, whatever.
But once you know they were both in the same house, you knew this was going to happen. You knew that Dark Horse was going to be pulled.
Yeah.
And it was going to be brought in house. It just makes perfect sense.
Well, we knew the properties, but I'm surprised that they're reprinting. So,
not a surprise, because there's demand for it, and especially as episode 7 comes out, there's going to be more demand for this.
Yeah, the one big question here is whether or not,
which was the most fascinating thing to this article that we pulled up.
Yeah,
was
whether or not the creators are actually going to have any kind of royalties being paid to them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a curious thing. Kevin, what else was on the list here this week?
Okay, so there are going to be a slew of I think variant cover. They're variant covers.
Yes.
Within the Marvel Universe, which features superheroes in situations to help prevent instances of bullying. Those are what the covers are portraying. The grand scheme of things is that they're trying to draw awareness to bullying.
Yeah, and this is a tie-in with Stomp Out Bullying, which is an organization out there to bring awareness to for an anti-bullying campaign. There's going to be Rocket Raccoon, Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers, Inhuman, Hulk, Captain America, and Legendary Star-Lord. The only one that I didn't see was the Inhuman.
I only saw like a couple of them, like the Captain America one, and your favorite.
Yeah, my favorite was the Guardians of the Galaxy. It is
with Gamora.
Yeah, I don't know who this artist is. The initials look like SH on it, so I'm not 100% certain who did it. But my God, is this one of the most beautiful covers I've ever seen?
Yeah, it was sharp. That was the one that caught my eye.
Yeah,
on it. But all I have to say about this is, God damn it, where was this shit when I was growing up?
I don't know. I was just reading my comics and hiding. So
I got bullied.
Well, I think everyone does. Except for maybe The Rock. The Rock probably never got bullied because he's huge. But you know what? He is Black Adam now. It's been confirmed. So
yes, he got word. I'm sure he didn't. He's a busy man. He doesn't have time to listen to our podcast. But he heard what we begged. We pleaded.
Dude, what do you think he does when he works out? He listens to Drunk on Comics the whole time. That's why he's so huge, because he's just like, these guys are so awesome. If I'm not huge, they won't think I'm as cool. So that's what happens. Shut up. All right, there's two more things I need to touch on, and we're running way long on this, so they're going to be quick. Charles Soule signed a Marvel exclusive comic.
Yes. Now, since Letter 44 is writer-owned.
Yes, here's the great thing.
He should be able to still keep on doing that.
You obviously didn't get to take a peek at his own addressing this thing.
I thought this was definitely reported a bunch. I actually found out about it on Twitter.
Yeah, there's actually on his own website, which is like, you know, his blog or you know, whatever.
Sure.
Whatever it is, he wrote a little thing about it and explained. The cool thing is that you know, while he loved working at DC, he doesn't necessarily want to leave, but it's a business decision.
And
both companies are being great. They're allowing him to finish the runs on the book that he's currently working on so that he can finish those arcs out the way he wanted. And then Marvel has agreed with Letter 44 that he can continue that until the end that was planned, which I don't know this for fact. I've heard this, that he had roughly 30-some issues of this book planned out.
Okay.
So he's going to be able to continue that, you know, for as long as he needs to finish that story.
That had to be very important into the details of making this arrangement, especially since Letter 44 has already been picked up by a network. Not a major network, but a cable network.
Yeah. One last thing here was that...
Keep on fucking cramming it down their throats, man.
Yeah. Axel Alonso, editor-in-chief at Marvel Comics, basically had addressed the issue of the Milo Manara Spider-Woman variant cover. And, you know, I think this hits it on the head. I understand why people might be upset, but, you know, he came out, and there's a really long thing that goes on here, but I do want to read the first couple sentences where he says, "We always listen to fans' concerns so we can do better by them. We want everyone, the widest breadth of fans, to feel welcome to read Spider-Woman. We apologize. I apologize for the mixed messaging that this variant caused." And that's what this cover is. It's a limited edition variant that is aimed at collectors. While we would not have published this as the main cover to the book, we were comfortable publishing this as a variant that represented one artist's vision of the character. And he goes on. It talks about it was aimed at collectors, which is why it's a limited edition. I get it. I'm okay with it. You know, I don't know. So
if that but wasn't so pronounced, if it wasn't so heart-shaped, do you think this would have been an issue at all?
It is an issue. It's issue one.
So what's on Andy Turnpike this week, man?
Andy Turnpike. Andy Turnpike, by the way, is brought to you by Daw Apparel, DAWApparel.com. Go there, check out all their awesome t-shirts, particularly the Drunk on Comics t-shirts. And, use the code DOC20, and you save 20%. And you get to look cool, like us, because I'm actually wearing a Drunk on Comics shirt while I record. Is this kind of like...
You are, and it's holding up well.
Well, this one not so much. This one not so much, only because my parents' beagle puppies kind of tore it up a little bit last time I was out there. But
that's what happens with puppies and kittens. They ruin everything.
Yeah. All right. So this week for Indie Turnpike, we have Cloaks number one from Boom Studios.
Oh, I see what you did. You pulled the last minute audible out.
Oh, the bait and switch. You saw something there. That's for later. This book is written by Caleb Monroe. It's illustrated by Mariano Navarro, colors by Gabriel Casada, and letters by Ed Dukeshire. This is the cover is W. Scott Forbes. By the way, on this, we talked about this book a while back. Basically like magic and 007 spy shit. This is the first setup of what's going on here, where you're meeting the main character, who he's kind of this street magician, but appears he's also a little bit of a thief on the side. And it gives a really good background to the character. You find out, yeah, he's a thief, but he's kind of a Robin Hood. You know, he's a pickpocket, he steals stuff, but then he goes and gives money to, this children's home for when he was in the system. He was a foster kid, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he goes and keeps giving money back to this place so that they can afford to keep kids there. The thing that I really just enjoyed about this book more than anything else was the dialogue. It was so completely natural that... You know, I'm sitting there reading this going, because sometimes, you know, Kevin, how like sometimes you read and you're like, they're telling the story, but it doesn't sound real. This sounded like two people talking as they're walking down the street, like 100% natural. There was nothing forced. And I'm not familiar with Monroe as a writer, but I want to go back and look and see what else he's done, because I really just enjoyed the natural flow and feel, the ebb and tide of normal conversation and story that would happen was all in here. Navarro's artwork was really, really well done for this. It's a very uplifting, I guess, look at some things that this could be really dark and gloomy, but I don't think that's the way that this book is going to roll. Overall, it's kind of hard to talk about this because I don't want to give away the character exposition that goes on in here, because it was done so well that each page, as you flip, you kind of get a little bit more and more into who, you know, our main character was. And then there's obviously a big hook at the end that you go, wait, what? And It's fun. But the thing is, like, if you're interested in magic of any way, shape, or form, this is kind of fun, too. Because, you know, who doesn't like magic and illusions and stuff like that? And, you know, it's kind of a little peek behind the magician, you know, and people that are into this kind of stuff that's out there. So definitely worth picking up and giving it a shot. Solid charismatic characters, beautiful artwork, gorgeous expression. This one was a page turner for me, and I kind of held it towards the end because I was like, well, I don't know, you know, but I picked it up because it was a Boom Studio book, and once again, totally satisfied. So
cool. I just pulled it up because you got me thinking. Caleb Monroe. Steed and Mrs. Peel.
Oh yeah,
heard of that one.
Yep.
Yeah, that one's new to me, and maybe no. And I'm just doing this on the fly, real quick. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so he's done some work with Boom then.
Yep.
Alrighty. Cool. All right. Time for Booze in a Book.
All right, man. I'm thirsty. What do you got?
Well, Booze in a Book, once again, brought to you by our awesome buddies over at Ink Whiskey. Check them out at inkwhiskey.com. And if you didn't hear...
We're thinking of the same thing, man.
Yep.
Yeah, if you haven't checked out our special edition podcast just posted last week, about halfway through, you'll have a very entertaining interview with Derek and I interviewing Johnny over at Ink Whiskey.
Awesome dude, awesome product. $20, man, for a flask that looks like an old NES 8-bit cartridge. You can't beat it. So check them out. Tell them we sent you, by the way. Booze in a Book this week. God Hates Astronauts, number one. So here's where you... Here's where I fooled you, Kev.
Okay. You gotta fool me like you do with what's that the steak dinner.
Oh yeah,
the steak dinner shot where it's tequila and Worcestershire sauce
and a little dash of hot sauce.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they're delicious though.
Yeah, I will admit the steak dinner shot is a very delicious shot.
Yeah. So this is. This will explain just about everything you need to know about the book without me actually explaining the book.
Okay.
The credits page. And I'm quoting, artistically written and drawn for the page by the ever virtuous Ryan, what do you mean it's not butter brown? Made to be in glorious color by Jordan, don't call me Jordan Boyd. Slammed with letters in the proper order by Chris Crank Crank and Ryan Brown Brown. And these are all in parentheses in between. Fanciful design elements by the ever designful Thomas the Nickname Quinn. Cover A by the easily confused Ryan, sorry folks, Brown. Cover B by the amazingly amazing Jeff Amazing Darrow and Ryan Thumbs Down Brown.
Amazing.
Yeah. Ryan, we had the chance to interview him back at C2E2. Actually, we talked to him. I talked to him at Detroit Fan Fair even before that. This book, you can't explain. He hasn't been able to fully explain it. It's farmers that want to go to space for some reason. NASA's trying to stop them, and so you have the group of superheroes that have been employed by NASA. The Power Person's Five trying to stop these. You have the random character in here, which is new, 3D Cowboy, which you don't get 3D glasses to look at this book, but he is in 3D. Which
it does.
It actually is in 3D.
Are you serious?
Yeah, Ryan actually confirmed that little 3D Cowboy will be in 3D.
That's fucked up.
And so now, whenever he wants to put 3D Cowboy in there, it has to be there. So, anyway, there's this is the silliest fucking book ever. But anyway, I am pairing this partially because of our trip last week to Toronto, I am pairing this with a classic Caesar.
Caesar. I explained the Caesar to someone.
Yeah.
I think someone almost threw up in their mouth.
Which, okay, this is going to sound just like a Bloody Mary until the last little twist. Mm-hmm. It's 1.5 ounces of vodka, 2 dashes of hot sauce, 4 dashes of Worcestershire, Worcestershire sauce, easy for me to say, some celery salt, some freshly ground pepper, a lime wedge, and a crisp celery stalk. And then rather than using tomato juice or a Bloody Mary mix, you use Clamato. 6 ounces of that. And then you rim the glass with either celery salt or what I liked, the one that I had.
Pepper.
It was like Cajun seasoning. Or like, yeah, Cajun salt.
I know. I should have gotten one. I didn't think it was going to... For a long night of drinking, I don't think that was going to be a way to start my evening.
I did just fine.
You did.
But, you know, I have the liver of a god.
Knock on wood there, buddy.
Now, the reason that I am pairing these together is that these are both difficult to explain. They're both difficult for people to wrap their mind around.
I know. I get what you're saying.
But what I'm promising you is if you try them, you will fucking love both of them. They are both awesome. They're great. I could drink the one all day. I could read this all day. I'd be happy. And honestly, this is one of those books where I think the more Caesars you drink, the harder you're going to laugh. Because you're already going to laugh in this. When at the beginning of the story, and I'm not ruining this because there was a little preview, the beginning of the story, Prince Tiger eating a hamburger. That's his character's name because he is a tiger that's eating a hamburger. Mm-hmm. He dies, but his dad is his dad's a little upset. But his dad is King Tiger eating a hamburger, you know, because that's how it goes. So yeah, it's and there's some chicken love in here too. So that's all I'm gonna say.
But, all right. Cool, man. So what do you got for last call?
Last call. I got a stack. You got anything in yours that you need to give a shout out to?
No, like I said, man, a lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff, but...
All right, rip yours off, because there's probably a couple that I'll...
Sure. Okay, so we have to mention, for sure, Original Sin, number 8 of 8, end of that story. Those are awesome. Tiny Titans, number 4. That's always... Always a winner.
Is that still Art Baltazar and Franco?
Yeah, absolutely. It's that dynamic duo.
Fucking kings of cool shit.
Twilight Zone number 8. RoboCop number 3. Justice League 33. And that's about it.
All right. Uncanny X-Men number 25. Even though I said I took him off my poll.
Well, hey,
they're off the poll, but I still picked it up.
Just because you're off the poll doesn't mean you don't love them anymore.
Yeah. So, you know, it's going to be like that girlfriend that I just go see every once in a while. Like, you know, the ex-girlfriend. It's like, yeah, you know, we broke up, but I'll probably still hook up with you here and there. So, Nailbiter number 5. The Woods number 5. Punisher number 10. I'm somewhat torn on this one, but it's still worth a mention. Was She-Hulk number 8.
Charles Soule.
Yeah. Well, and...
Enough said.
Yeah. the main thing, though, that I like... I love the fact that you have an attorney writing attorney books with a superhero attorney, Jennifer Walters, a.k.a. She-Hulk, and she has to defend Cap for a wrongful death suit in this one.
Good.
And she has to go up against Matt Murdock as the prosecuting attorney in this one.
You know, I picked up She-Hulk for a while, and I haven't picked up the last few issues. If I read that, am I going to feel dumb?
I think just, you know, no, because Charles knows how to dumb it down for people like us. And then I think the one book that will haunt me for another month at least was Southern Bastards number 4. Holy fuck. That's all I'm saying.
That's wow, dude, that's a full. That's a full, and it was just the two of us, man. We had this number in our head of how long the show runs, but
around an hour.
It's soft.
Yeah,
we're soft with it, man. But I fucking always have fun hanging out with you, Derek, talking comics, giving an entertaining show to our podcast listeners.
Dude, I love hanging out with me too. Oh wait. All right.
Check us out on Twitter, Facebook. What? God damn. This is what we do. We end the show. We recap. Let us go. Oh, my God. You're going to tell me I'm doing it wrong.
No. I'm waiting for you to say Instagram.
No. I will mention Instagram to our listeners at Drunk on Comics once you actually post something new.
All right. I'm posting something right now.
What are you going to post? I mean,
I got stuff. I got pictures.
Okay. You get to put up that zombie that we saw at the fanfare? That would be awesome.
No, I'm going to put up a picture of our commission that we got from Adam Warren.
So now we got some new content. You can check us out at Drunk on Comics on Instagram. Drunk on Comics on Twitter, Drunk on Comics on Facebook, Stitcher, iTunes. We can download the podcast, our website.
You can see us in person at Grand Con in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll have a Vine here shortly.
Oh, I'm not doing Vine. Not doing Vine.
What, 7 seconds too long for you?
Well.
It's too short for you.
No, it's just... Dude, I can't even do the fucking Instagrams. All right, guys.
Man, dude. Hey, Derek, a pleasure, man. We'll be back next week.
Yeah. And
I don't know. How do you normally... I don't know. I already forget how you end the show.
Keep reading your comics, kids. We'll be back next week to talk to you about them then. Forever got sunny California on my mind. Hollywood is calling and snow is falling around me as I pack my shirt and tie. 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 As I shake my head inside. I shake my head inside. As I say my